Alaskans, wherever you are, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska, where we keep the mainstream media on their toes, and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to mustreadalaska.com, and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska. Folks, we got a doubleheader today. If you tuned in to me earlier, you got to hear from Pat Pitney, president of the University of Alaska System. And today, we also have a very, very special guest. But before I go into that, I want to thank everybody that listens, watches, and reads Must Read Alaska. If you want to help keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. Every $5, $10, $100 helps keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com, and I'd love to have you sponsor the show. Without further ado, I have a very special guest, Riley Gaines, who's a graduate from the University of Kentucky, where she was a 12-time All-American swimmer. And folks probably know her recently for the person with the largest voice sticking up for female athletes all around the U.S. Without further ado, welcome to the Must Read Alaska show, Riley.
Well, thank you so much, John, for having me on. I'm thrilled to be on with you.
Well, before we go into some of the latest happenings that you've been doing all over the U.S., you recently just came to Alaska, which is awesome. Talk to me about your trip to Alaska and what that was all about.
Yes, I did. I just came to Alaska. I came in December, I believe, maybe November. It was so cold. You guys are so brave, so courageous for living out there. But really, I mean, it was beautiful. I got to see a moose for the first time, which is my favorite animal. I've always wanted to see a moose in real life. I got to do that, so that was super cool. But really, Alaska is an important state. I think oftentimes we forget about Alaska, you know, the rest of the nation. But what you guys are doing over there, it matters. It's important. It's crucial. So I could not have been more thrilled to be there in Alaska, of course, spreading awareness about this issue, which I have now, unfortunately, I'll say, find myself in the middle of, highlighting how it's happening. It's happening in the state of Alaska, of course, really across the nation, across the world, really. But just, again, highlighting awareness and why it's important that Alaska passes legislation that ultimately prevents men from competing in women's sports.
Nice. So take me back to that 2002 NCAA Division I Women's Swim and Diving Championships. This is kind of what sparked your involvement into now being the voice and the face for sticking up for female athletes around the U.S. Take me back to that moment. And why did you want to stick up for females in that 2002 NCAA Division Championship?
Yeah, I'll take you back. As you said, I graduated from University of Kentucky, where I very proudly finished my career as a 12-time NCAA All-American, 5-time SEC champion, SEC record holder in the 200 butterfly, making me one of the fastest Americans of all time, SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year, SEC Community Service Leader of the Year. The list goes on, but of course, all of that to say, I know none of those things would have been possible without the women's sporting category, without Title IX. Which is another important point specifically to Alaska, considering Ted Stevens was really a champion for Title IX. So I have just the utmost respect and admiration for him, as I know you guys over there in Alaska do as well. But anyways, my senior year, we're geared up, ready to go for our national championships, which is of course the meet you work all year, really all your life for. But 3 weeks prior to the start of that championships, the NCAA released a statement saying that Leah Thomas, who of course is formerly Will Thomas, who swam 3 years on the men's team at University of Pennsylvania before deciding to switch to the women's team, would be allowed to swim in the women's category. Actually, what the NCAA said was that this was a non-negotiable, meaning there was nothing that we could do as female athletes. There was no questions that we could ask or concerns that we could raise. We were told we had to accept this with a smile on our face. And so, of course, I got to personally witness the infringement, or what I would call an injustice, of allowing this male into our pool and into our locker rooms, right? Like I can wholeheartedly attest to the tears that I saw from the girls who placed 9th and 17th and missed out on being named an All-American by one place. And I can wholeheartedly attest to the extreme discomfort in the locker room when you turn around, there's a 6'4" man fully intact, fully exposing himself while you were also simultaneously fully undressed. So that first day, he swam to a national title, Thomas did, beating out Olympians, beating out American record holders. I mean, these aren't scrubs. They're the most impressive and accomplished female swimmers this world has ever seen. And he beat them all by body lengths. The next day, the 200 freestyle was the event that he and I raced in, which ultimately resulted in a tie, crazily enough. Meaning, we'd gone the exact same time down to the 100th of a second.
Wow.
But despite tying, and this is ultimately what thrusted me over the edge, because despite tying, you know, we go back behind the awards podium where the NCAA official looks at both Thomas and myself. Again, Thomas, who's towering over me standing at 5'5", him at 6'4". And this official says, "Great job, you two, but you tied. And we only have one trophy. So we're going to give the trophy to Leah. Sorry, Riley, you don't get one." And when I pressed back on this, I asked the question no one dared ask all season. And I said, "Why? You know, why are you adamant on giving this trophy to a man in the women's 200 freestyle?" And I actually appreciate his honesty because he looked at me and I could tell he didn't even believe what he was about to say, this official. He looked sad, honestly. His voice sounded sad. He said, "Riley, I'm so sorry, but we have been advised as an organization that when photos are being taken, it's crucial that the trophy's in Leah's hands." That's when I knew I was going to say something because up until this point, admittedly, I just figured someone else would, like a coach or a parent or an official or someone with political power or some other swimmer. I thought someone who was supposed to be protecting us would protect us. So again, just to sum it up, really, you asked, I think, you know, how I got here. The answer of how is, of course, the unfair competition, of course, the locker room aspect. But also really the silencing that we face from our universities. All of those things contributed to the stance that I have now taken in saying that men don't belong in our sports or any of our single sex spaces.
So you have, the mainstream media were probably hopeful that you would back down and, go along with your life and, hide off in the corner of wherever you're from. But that's not what you did. You refused to back down. You've created a movement of sorts. Talk to me a little bit about how that's been, from making a stand in 2022 to where you're at now. Now you're the face and the voice of sticking up for female athletes. How's that process been? I'm sure there's been ups and downs.
Oh gosh, ups and downs to say the least. It has been a wild past 2 or so years. I mean, really, of course, this is never a position that I would have imagined myself in. After college, I was in dental school, set to be a dentist. That's what I was working towards. So by no means. Look, I never even had to take a government course, which is kind of scary now that I look back on it. I took history in 9th grade. That's the extent of my history knowledge. And so I knew we had three branches of government, didn't know what they did. I still don't really know what they do. I don't even think they know what they do, to be totally honest with you, John. So look, this position that I felt prepared to be in, nevertheless, a position anyone should have to be in. But these past 2 years, I have really adapted. I've learned. I've been eye-opened. Of course, I've been eye-opened politically. I've seen how corrupt our government is. People say that all the time, but truly firsthand, I've seen the strings that are pulled across the nation at the tippy top, at the federal level. The strings that are being pulled, really how this is a game to a lot of people. But the position that I'm taking is, look, our rights as women, as kids, as parents, our rights to privacy, our rights to safety, our rights to opportunity, equal opportunity, that's not a game. It matters, and there are very real consequences to this game that our leaders, the media, academia, corporate America, the list goes on, they seem to be playing. I've also been eye-opened spiritually. I'm very fortunate to have always had a strong background in my faith. Two parents, who love each other, took me to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But this past 2 years or so, I've really understood, I've seen clearly how God works and how he provides me with strength and wisdom and direction and protection and all the things. But just as clearly, I've seen how his opposition works and how he moves through deceit and through lies and affirming these lies and through darkness, really. So been eye-opened in a lot of ways, John. It's been a wild past 2 years. But in all of the negative, which we tend to see, right? We see the backlash on social media. We see what the news reports upon these negative stories, but amidst all of that, the support that I have received is tenfold anything negative, which is important for perspective. It shows you how the overwhelming amount of the general public agrees. This is really a unifying issue. You and I both know there are very few issues that 75, 80% of the general public agrees upon. But this is one of them. So it really is something that unites us as a nation, and I think we've been in desperate need of that for a long time.
So what's some advice you'd give to, somewhere somebody's going to be listening to this and they have a 13-year-old daughter in high school basketball or high school swimming, or maybe they're a coach themselves. What's some advice you give to those folks who want to stick up for what they believe, but don't want to be, on the front page of the news, maybe, or thrown under the bus by the
Really?
media? How do you be courageous at the same time with maybe not caring about what others think about you?
No, and that's the thing is understand we all have different roles. Not everyone is expected to get in front of a camera or to get in front or on a stage with a microphone. Of course not. But we do all have different roles. And so my message to parents, my message to coaches, defend your daughters, defend your athletes, right? They're in desperate need of that. Even myself at the time of that national championships, I was 21 years old. I was an adult for sure. But I was still looking for those people, as I mentioned, who were supposed to be protecting us to protect us. And we were failed on many accounts. So that being said, so much of this battle has fallen on the shoulders of young girls and women like myself. Which is why it's crucial and urgent, I would add, that parents and authority figures like coaches take a stand. So much of this, we focus on girls and women, and we often ask ourselves the question of where are the feminists, which, like, don't even get me started on that question. But I think just as often as we ask ourselves the question of where are the feminists, is we should be asking ourselves the question of where are the men. And so dads, look, this is your time. We need dads. I feel like we've seen nationwide a pretty big push from moms over the past 5 years or so. Moms running for school board. We've seen these national groups, Moms for Liberty and Moms for America, have now started, and they're gaining traction and having a lot of impact at that. But I think we're in desperate need as a nation of strong male leadership. I think that's honestly a big reason why our nation is in decline the way that it is because we have weak male leadership. Again, stemming all the way from the tippy top. So parents, while you're defending your children, defending your daughters, teach your sons how to be strong men. We certainly need strong men. And what I will encourage specifically to Alaskans, HB 183 has just been surfaced, is about to be voted on. Man, reach out to your elected officials, to your state reps, to your state senators. Encourage them to pass HB 183. Explain to them why this matters to you. If you have daughters, if you are a female athlete yourself, you're a former athlete, reach out to them and explain why this matters. HB 183, up until this point, it protects kindergarten through 12th grade, sports on the basis of sex. I would even add encouraging in this email or letter you are to send to your elected officials, encourage them to include the collegiate level as well, because again, all girls deserve protection on the basis of our sex when it comes to something where biology matters, and that being sports.
Nice. So switching gears for a second, you were just on one of my all-time favorite podcasts, Joe Rogan. Talk to me about that experience. That had to be a pretty awesome thing to be a part of.
It was. Let me tell you, I take what I do very seriously. There's not a lot of room for poking fun or making a mockery of it because, again, there are real consequences to what we're seeing. Although it's hard not to, because truthfully, a lot of the stuff we're seeing, it's like a South Park episode or like a Babylon Bee headline or like an SNL skit, but it's reality. So it's hard not to mock the mockery. But again, because there are consequences, I try and be very stern, very firm, very unapologetic. But going on with Joe Rogan, it was certainly a chance to let those walls down, to be able to be more lighthearted, to be more of just myself. So it was a wonderful experience. Of course, he has such a large platform, like 200 million some subscribers. So to be able to share this message beyond the base, I think that was an important point because, of course, a lot of what I do is talking to people who agree with me. It's preaching to the choir. I go on Fox News, and every single old white man watching Fox News already agrees with me. But this was certainly a way to extend beyond that base, which was wonderful. And I'll tell you, I have had thousands and thousands and thousands of messages. I have not read one negative message. Which is what this is about, right? And it shows you how common sense, intuitive, everyday people understand how this is harmful. They understand the severity of the lie that men can become women and vice versa. So that was great. And to be able to go on there and spread the message of the Lord, that was the most important thing for me because ultimately, as a Christian, I mean, that's why I believe we're here on this planet is to spread his word and his message. So it was an awesome experience. Certainly different than what I'm used to, but I enjoyed it.
Nice. He seemed to agree with the position on women should be in women's sports and men should be in men's sports. I saw a clip, I think. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah, he was very much in agreeance. We talked for almost 3 hours or something like
Wow.
that. It was a wonderful conversation. We got into all kinds of topics. And yeah, he was very much in agreeance. He didn't realize a lot of the stuff. He didn't understand that we changed in a locker room with this man. And his face, there's a couple good like screenshots you could have of his face where his jaw is
He's
just on
like,
the floor, like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Yeah, no, exactly. But he was in total agreeance with I would say virtually everything we talked about.
nice. So you started recently the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute. Talk to me about what that is and what the future holds for that.
So the Riley Gaines Center, honestly, this is something that I wish I had when I began to speak out. I didn't have the resources, I didn't have the knowledge, I didn't have the support, I didn't have the training or the effective communication tools to know how to talk about this topic or how to be effective in talking about this topic. And so that's exactly what the center is. It is a way to train and embolden and equip leaders, whether that's community leaders, national leaders, school board leaders, whatever the case may be. Again, we are suffering because we don't have enough leaders. Encourage certainly begets courage. That's what the center is doing. We are highlighting stories of other people, other young women who have been adversely impacted at the hands of the gender ideology movement, sharing their stories on a larger scale. Again, just to show to people that what happened to myself and my teammates and my competitors at that national championships is not unique by any means.
So, my guess is you have a very full plate in the future, but can you give us a peek under the hood for, what some of your future plans and goals are as it relates to sending, spearheading this message?
Absolutely. One thing that has been pretty large on a large scale in the national news as of the past week or so is officially filed and served the NCAA with a lawsuit.
Wow.
Really one, the first of its kind. Myself and 15 other athletes, who again, the NCAA's policies have negatively impacted, have signed on to this lawsuit with the grounds of how they violated the federal law being Title IX. The NCAA's most basic duties are to protect the opportunities, the safety, and the privacy, not just for women, but for both sexes. And they continue to fail on that. Just 2 weeks ago, they had it at the track and field national championships. There was a boy competing. I mean, I could sit here and list, 100 men at the collegiate level competing in the women's category, or women who identify as men who are also competing in the women's category. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're hoping for, is for the NCAA to change its policies and ultimately adhere to Title IX's original intent. We want the NCAA to be accountable, to be responsible for, again, the harm that they have caused, not just to myself, but really to a ample amount of athletes across the nation.
So you mentioned this a little bit, but talk to me a little bit about how faith has played a role in what you're doing. I'm sure that that's been crucial in keeping you going through, throughout the days and weeks and months. But talk to me a little bit about how important faith is to you and what your work is in that.
Gosh, I've just really understand that faith is the basis of all of this, of everything, of all of these cultural issues, not just the gender ideology movement, but these cultural issues that seem to be plaguing this country. I don't know how people do it without their faith. So it's very much kind of this understanding of, we were told that we would be here. Of course, if you look through history from a worldly perspective, that saying history repeats itself, it's certainly true. We're seeing that play out in real time, but from a biblical standpoint, we were told we would be here. We were told we would reach a point where dark is seen as light and bitter is seen as sweet and evil is seen as moral. Paul warns us of that in Acts and Romans and different places. And look, that's not me saying that, I use this word evil. That's not me saying that people who identify as trans are evil. No, of course I don't believe that. But I do believe deceit is evil. And I do believe that manipulation and temptation and lying and affirming delusions, that's all evil. And that's, again, that's what this movement relies on, is lies and deceit. So I am, all of that being said, I really feel at peace. I really feel like I have an incredibly light heart. I am able to do this with a smile on my face, because I know the outcome. Because again, the Bible tells us the outcome. So knowing that, certainly peace of mind, knowing I only have to appease one person, only one person's opinion of me matters. That's why I'm able to stay grounded. The war has already been won.
Nice. So 25 minutes has gone by in a flash. I really want to thank you for coming on the show. Do you have any last minute thoughts here before we head out?
I just wanted to thank you for not just talking to me, but for everything you do, for highlighting these things going on, specifically to the state of Alaska. I'll say I testified in Alaska last week, under one of the subcommittees, Representative Allard. She has brought forward HB 183, again, the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, or whatever the name of the actual bill is here in Alaska. It is crucial that this gets through. Alaska is home to one of my favorite Olympians, Lydia Jacoby, who is swimming at Texas, who is swimming at national or at NCAAs right now, who is awesome. It's important, really. Public pressure works. I got to sit in that hearing last week and be told that I was discriminating against individuals. I had blood on my hands. That I wasn't kind. That I wasn't inclusive by Representative Hemschut and others, even some squishy Republicans. One Republican, he said something to the effect of, we should just eliminate categories in sport altogether. We shouldn't have men and women sports. We should just have one category. I was sitting there like, did he really just say that? Has he ever played a sport? I wonder how he feels about eliminating the Paralympics versus the Olympics, or eliminating age categories in sport, or eliminating weight classes and boxing. What a silly, silly comment to make. It's our job to call out the hypocrisy, to hold their feet to the fire. That is our duty as everyday people, and we the people do certainly have the power. So reach out to your representatives, let it be known how you stand, urge them to pass and support Representative Allard's House Bill 183.
Nice. Well, Riley Gaines, we wish you nothing but success here from Must Read Alaska. We appreciate all that you do. And for folks that just maybe caught the tail end of this interview, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing. Riley Gaines has some great insightful thought on sticking up for females in female sports. She's a 12-time All-American swimmer from the University of Kentucky and now spearheads the Riley Gaines Center to teach folks how to be a good leader and to stand up for the things that they care about. So we appreciate you coming on, Riley. You're welcome back anytime. And for folks that listen, watch, and read Must Read Alaska, if you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. We'd love to have you sponsor the show. And we hope everybody has a great weekend. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks so much, Riley.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.